Welcome to the Redemption Church podcast. We are located in Seattle, Washington. As a church, we want to be a community of faithfully present people with God, self, and others. We hope that this encourages you to do the same wherever you are. And thanks for joining us.
All right, church family, we are going to jump into the sermon for the day. As many of you know, we're walking through the vision of our church. We've paused from the book of Acts, and we're looking at the vision of our church. And our church vision, the reason why is we've been apart for 18 weeks or so, and we've got a lot of things going on in the world, as you know, with all kinds of racial injustice and political upheaval. It's very tense. We're all watching our screens constantly, and there's so much division and discord and questions and all the rest going on in the world right now. And so what we want to do is to recenter ourselves on the vision of our church. What are we about here at Redemption Church? And our vision is not flashy. It's not super cool. It's not quippy. It's not some just evangelical tagline throwaway thing that just doesn't mean anything. It's a very simple vision, and it's a very scriptural vision, and it's something that we can actually do. And so the vision of our church is very simple. We'll put this on the screen. Redemption Church is striving to be a faithfully present community in relationship with God, self, and others. I'll say that again. Redemption Church is striving to be a community of faithfully present people in our relationship with God, self, and others. And so as we walk through scripture today, we're going to just hang out in just a couple key spots. We're going to be talking about being faithfully present to ourselves. Last week, we talked about what it is to be faithfully present to God. And if you missed that, you can go listen to the podcast and catch up there on what it is to abide in Christ. But when it comes to being faithfully present to ourselves, this is not some kind of generic pop psychology kind of thing. But to be faithfully present to self is deeply rooted in faithful biblical discipleship. And so our vision, when we talk about this, is a response to the gospel. You see, being faithfully present to God and self and others is not a way that we get God's favor or win God's attention or earn salvation or anything like that. We're not trying to get God's attention. Our vision is born out of a response to the gospel. Now that I've met Jesus, how do I live my life? By and in the Spirit. And we say it that way. We're doing that together as a community, saying we're intentional about being present people right here, right now in Seattle. We are present to God, ourselves, and one another. I came across this passage yesterday from Tolkien. He's the famous writer, you know, of course, of The Lord of the Rings. And he read a poem by a guy named Francis Thompson. And the poem was entitled The Hound of Heaven. And he talks about like his conversion experience. And listen to this. We'll put this on the screen as to how Tolkien talked about it, his reflection on this poem. He says, as the hound follows the hare, never ceasing in its running, ever drawing near in the chase, with unhurrying and steady pace, so does God follow the fleeing soul by his divine grace. And though in sin or in human love, away from God, it seeks to hide itself, divine grace follows after, unwearyingly follows ever after, till the soul feels its pressure, forcing it to turn to him alone in that never-ending pursuit. I love that image of the hound of heaven, this hunting dog chasing after the hare that's running off. And the hunting dog is not hurried. It's not frantic. It's not anxious. It's not concerned. It's just keeping pace with the hare. And eventually the hare stops and has to face the hunting dog. That's exactly what it is in converting to follow Jesus. Eventually, we stop running, we turn and we face, and we say, okay, God, let's do this. I'll be present to you. I'll be present to myself. I'll be present to this world in the way that you would have me. I love that. So as we talk about faithful presence, you're going to ask questions like, what does it look like? How do I do it? Why is it important? What does the Bible have to say about it? And to be honest, the scriptures have so much to say about faithful presence. And I can't possibly unearth all that in a sermon. We'll just get to just some very small things scripture says today, but they're jam-packed and will change your life if you practice this discipline. This discipline, in fact, most of the time, it might be safe to say that this is the most neglected spiritual discipline in the Christian life. And we neglect being present to ourselves for any number of reasons, really, don't we? It's hard to pay attention to yourself. We don't want to be present to ourselves for a lot of reasons. We object to it because once you start digging around in here and start finding out, oh, there's all kinds of stuff in there. There's lust and greed and anger and violence and pride and prejudice and all kinds of things that we see. We don't want to be present to that. There's worry in there. There's anxiety sometimes in there. There's regrets. There's scarring memories. Somebody did something, or somebody didn't do something, or I did something, or I didn't succeed. Whatever it is, to be present to ourselves can be so uncomfortable. It can be so hard. And that's why we often neglect this discipline. As a pastor, you know, I get to sit with many of you often. And as a pastor, I get the great honor, an incredible privilege of sitting with you. And as I do, I get a front row seat often to the real parts of your life. And there's always a moment in the conversation, isn't there, where we're talking about God or maybe politics or something in the news or some sports thing or whatever. We're talking about life. But then there comes a moment in our conversation where we start talking about ourselves, the things that are within. And it's in that moment, every time, that the conversation shifts and we both know that you and I are now on holy ground. Because when we're talking about our real selves, we're being vulnerable and we're saying, this is the thing that I'm struggling with, or this is the thing that went right in my life, but I didn't want to like brag about it, but I wanted to share with somebody a win, whatever that is. That's that moment that we know we're on holy ground. It's where friendship's born. So we tend to neglect it, but in Christ, we can face our real selves and be present to our real selves. John Calvin, the great Protestant theologian, said this, and this is so important. This is on the first page of the Christian Institutes. He said, "Our wisdom, if it is to be thought genuine, consists almost entirely of two parts, the knowledge of God and of ourselves. As these are closely connected, it's not easy to decide which comes first and gives rise to the other. It is evident that man never arrives at true self-knowledge before he has looked into the face of God and then come away to look at himself. For we always seem to ourselves just and upright, wise and holy, until we are convinced by clear proof of our injustice and deviousness and stupidity and impurity. However, we are never convinced of this if we simply look to ourselves and not to the Lord as well, since he is the only yardstick from which this conviction can come. For since we all have a tendency to hypocrisy, any hollow appearance of righteousness is quite enough to satisfy us instead of righteousness itself. As long as we do not look further than those around us, we are quite satisfied with our own righteousness, wisdom, and virtue. We assess ourselves in very flattering terms as being well on the way to perfection. However, as soon as we lift our thoughts to God and reflect on his nature and how absolutely perfect in righteousness, wisdom, and virtue he is, we realize that this is the standard to which we all must conform. That's how he opens the Christian Institute. I don't know which comes first. Do I know God first or myself? I don't know. Here's what I do know. If I only try to figure out myself without relation to God, I'm going to come out looking amazing. Because if I'm my own yardstick, I'm great. I'm great. My justice looks right. My righteousness, I'm a pretty virtuous person. But as soon as I measure myself not against my own mirror reflection or a neighbor who I can just go, oh, I'm always better than that person. But if I use Jesus Christ as the standard for which human life is supposed to look like, oh, well, I've got some real changing to do. In being present to yourself, you can be present to yourself in relation to who Jesus is, to look to God and go, oh, can you show me what a real human's supposed to look like? He can, and he does. So when we talk about faithful presence to ourselves, we're talking about essentially its stewardship and abiding and walking in the Holy Spirit. Catch that. This is how Peter talks about it in the book of 2 Peter. He says this, 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So how are we supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus if we're unwilling or unable to slow down, pay attention, and to get to know the life that he actually loves and has redeemed? How can I grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus if I don't know what his grace is? Where his grace is being extended? Does that make sense? I've got to be willing to slow down. If I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, I've got to be slow enough to pay attention to myself to see that grace at work here. Augustine said this in his Confessions. "And men go abroad to admire the heights of the mountains, the mighty waves of the sea, the broad tides of rivers, the compass of the ocean, and the circuits of the stars, yet pass over the mystery of themselves without a thought." Think about that, how much we love to travel here in Seattle. We love to travel all summer long, right? And we'll go and we'll look at stars and we'll look at mountains and we'll look at lakes and rivers and streams and we want to see it all. And Augustine goes, yeah, we love to do that. And yet we'll pass over the mystery of our own self without a single thought. God forbid we know more about Mount Rainier than what's in here and in here. To be present to yourself takes a real discipline to really pay attention. I love how Solomon instructs us. Listen to this. This is so good. Proverbs 4:23. "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Keep your heart. This keeping, when he says keep your heart, it's a word that means to be guarding and looking after. It's intentionally maintaining our hearts like a gardener. Just think about the Japanese gardens here in our city. We'll pull a picture up on the screen and show you a picture of the Japanese gardens there at the Arboretum. Like, when you see that, leave that on the screen for a moment. When you see that beautiful garden, that's God's heart for you. He says, "I want you to look after your heart like that. I want you to look after your soul like that. Look after your life. Tend to it with all the details. Let's get all the weeds out. Let's trim things. Let's prune things. Let's maintain things. Let's make this beautiful. You're made in my image. I want you to reflect that in how you pay attention to your life, to your habits, to your words, to your relationships, to your feelings, to your actions, to the things you say, to the things you don't say. Watch your life." Paul instructed Timothy. He said, "I want you to watch your life and your doctrine closely." Pay attention.
See, this isn't selfish navel-gazing nonsense. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to watch your life. Listen to the words of Solomon. Guard your heart. Pay close attention. Make it neat, tidy, clean. It's not a dump. It's not some sloppy dumpster. No, your heart is like that garden. Take good care of it. After all, the king lives there too, you know? So we'll speak to one thing. I promise I'm getting close to finishing-ish. So what's one discipline that I can practice in being present to myself? The one I want to point out today is the discipline of solitude. The discipline of solitude. And I know, like, right now, we're in quarantine. It's like, dude, I think I've been alone enough. Some people, for sure. But to practice, truly practice solitude. And I know there can be objections to even trying to practice solitude, because it's like, doesn't the world need us right now? Doesn't the world need us? Certainly, we don't need to go practice solitude. Look at all the stuff going on in the world. And yet the reality is the world around you, your neighbor around you, your family, friends, the world around you needs you to practice solitude. Because if you run on adrenaline and you run nonstop and you're going, 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 you'll be no good to the world around you at the end to show up, and you're totally gassed. Solitude is a time and place where you can be present to God, to be present to yourself, and to recharge. There's a rhythm to this. There's one verse where Luke is intentional to tell us that even Jesus did it. Look at this verse. It's Luke 5:16. It says this: he would withdraw to desolate places and he'd pray. He would withdraw and pray. Did you know that that's God's invitation to you and being present to yourself, is to withdraw and pray, to be alone, to pay attention? And if the Son of God needed to get alone every once in a while, who are you and I to neglect that? We definitely need it. The times I know I'm tanking and I feel most anxious or depressed is because I haven't been practicing that discipline in particular. He would withdraw and pray. When Jesus came to the earth, he did not give us 5 steps in how to become God. Did he? No, what did he teach us? Paul calls him the second Adam for a reason. When Jesus came to the earth, he taught us how to become human. He didn't teach us how to be an angel. And he certainly didn't invite us to join the Holy Trinity. He said, I want to show you how to live life as a human. What does a whole human look like? Oh, a whole human is a peacemaker. A whole human is a reconciler. A whole human speaks up for justice. A whole human knows how to be generous. A whole human cares. A whole human knows how to practice solitude. So when you watch Jesus do that, he's setting up a model for us to follow in practicing solitude. A lady named Sherry Tuttle, she wrote a book a few years ago called Alone Together, Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. Listen to what she says. In solitude, we don't reject the world, but have the space to think our own thoughts. But if your phone is always with you, seeking solitude can look suspiciously like hiding. We fill our days with ongoing connection, denying ourselves time to think and dream. So when you practice solitude, just something very practical, turn off your phone. And if you're like me, you might be tempted to actually go turn your phone back on after like 5 minutes of nervousness. And so for me, I have to like, I'll leave it somewhere else. I'll leave the house, or I'll go put it in the car or whatever. And, you know, but to just physically separate myself from technology, from my phone or from an iPad or a computer or whatever, but to disconnect and to actually practice real presence to God and self. So when you're present to yourself and watching your life and your doctrine closely, you're guarding your heart, you're maintaining the garden. Think about some questions when you get alone. Do you know yourself? Are you distracted? When you get alone, did you know that it's okay if your mind starts racing and wants to think about work or relationship or the next thing? You know it's okay that your mind's going to do that. And as it does, in being present to yourself, it's just to keep letting those thoughts go. Let them go. Breathe. Pay attention. Be really present. Listen to the story of your life. You need to know that story too, because it's within that story that the gospel story encompasses. So, I've told you a lot of things to do in practicing presence to self. It's something important to do. It's something God instructs us to do to maintain the garden. But what about when it's hard? What about, is there any good news in this? Because in being present to ourselves, as we said, it can be very hard. We find things in there that we don't like. I was reminded this morning, and I want to share this with you from Romans 7:7. It says this in verse 18. For I know nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Can you relate to that? Of course you can. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, we don't want to be present to ourselves, because that's true. When we start going, the things I want to do, I'm not doing them. And the very things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Ugh. And it's that complete frustration. I'm full of the Spirit. I follow Jesus. But when I'm present to myself, I say things like that. I'm paying attention and I go, oh, I'm just this contradiction. But it doesn't stop there. He says this, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the way you can go about being present to yourself, to all the skeletons in your closet and the overinflated ego and pride and all that, the only way you can actually look at that and not go into despair, the way we handle that as Christians is we do it in Christ. There is no condemnation. And so as I look to Jesus, I'm present to him. I can now be present to my whole real self and live this out as a whole human being filled with the Spirit, guided by the Scripture, walking in community with the family of God.
Thanks again for joining us. If you want more information about our church or would like to come visit us on a Sunday, go to redemptionseattle.com.